Welcome to Red Meat, a collection of the tastiest tidbits from Odyssey's conservative news talk radio stations across the country, a place where we're not afraid to dig in. Today we're digging into the Charlie Kirk murder case and the suspect who was apprehended last night. His killer was caught after he was turned in by a close family member. President Donald Trump broke the news Friday morning on Fox News, and Utah police later confirmed that Tyler Robinson, 22 years old, had been booked into Utah County Jail and was believed to have acted alone. So, here's what police have said so far about his motive, his actions before and after, and what the public execution of a famous man whose opinions you don't agree with means for the United States. Utah Governor Spencer Cox confirmed Friday that investigators discovered inscriptions on casings found with a bolt-action rifle near the Utah Valley University campus where Kirk was killed. Here's the FBI announcement from Utah, carried live on WWJ News Radio in Detroit.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We got him. On the evening of September 11th, a family member of Tyler Robinson reached out to a family friend who contacted the Washington County Sheriff's Office with information that Robinson had confessed to them or implied that he had committed the incident. This information was relayed to the Utah County Sheriff's Office and scene investigators at Utah Valley University. This information was also conveyed to the FBI. Investigators reviewed additional video footage from UVU surveillance and identified Robinson arriving on UVU campus in a gray Dodge Challenger at approximately 8:29 a.m. on September 10th, in which he is observed on video in a plain maroon t-shirt, light-colored shorts, a black hat with a white logo, and light-colored shoes. When encountered in person by investigators in Washington County on September 12th, in the early morning hours, Robinson was observed in consistent clothing with those surveillance images. Investigators interviewed a family member of Robinson who stated that Robinson had become more political in recent years. The family member referenced a recent incident in which Robinson came to dinner prior to September 10th, and in the conversation with another family member, Robinson mentioned Charlie Kirk was coming to UVU. They talked about why they didn't like him and the viewpoints that he had. The family member also stated Kirk was full of hate and spreading hate. The family member also confirmed Robinson had a gray Dodge Challenger. Investigators identified an individual as the roommate of Robinson. Investigators interviewed that roommate, who stated that his roommate, referring to Robinson, made a joke on Discord. Investigators asked if he would show them the messages on Discord. He opened it and showed several messages to investigators and allowed investigators to take photos of the screen as each message was shown by Robinson's roommate. These photos consisted of various messages, including content of messages between the phone contact named Tyler with an emoji icon and Robinson's roommate's device. The content of these messages included messages affiliated with the contact Tyler, stating a need to retrieve a rifle from a drop point, leaving the rifle in a bush, messages related to visually watching the area where a rifle was left, and a message referring to having left the rifle wrapped in a towel. The messages also refer to engraving bullets and a mention of a scope and the rifle being unique. Messages from the contact Tyler also mentioned that he had changed outfits. I know there has been speculation as well as to the writing on those casings, those bullet casings, and I believe we have that as well. And I will share that with you now. So the area north of Campus Drive Road where the suspect crossed over, you saw some of that in the video that we released last night, consists of a grassy area with trees on the edge of the UVU campus. Investigators discovered a bolt-action rifle wrapped in a dark-colored towel. The rifle was determined to be a Mauser Model 98 30-06 caliber, 30-06 caliber bolt-action rifle. The rifle had a scope mounted on top of it. Investigators noted inscriptions that had been engraved on casings found with the rifle. Inscriptions on a fired casing read, "Notices, bulges, capital O-W-O, what's this?" question mark. Inscriptions on the three unfired casings read, "Hey fascist!" exclamation point, "Catch!" exclamation point. Up arrow symbol, right arrow and symbol, and three down arrow symbols. A second unfired casing read, "Oh Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Chow Chow." And a third unfired casing read, "If you read this, you are gay, LMAO." We are indebted to law enforcement across the state who has worked seamlessly together, local law enforcement, state law enforcement, and our federal partners with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We're grateful for everyone who worked together in such a short amount of time to find this person and to bring justice. I want to thank the public who has been so engaged, reviewing videos, helping us with sending in tips, and helping us get to this point. I want to thank the family members of Tyler Robinson who did the right thing in this case and were able to bring him into to law enforcement as well. I especially want to thank the family of Charlie Kirk, Erica, Charlie's parents, his children. I want us to be thinking of them as we bring justice in this case. They will be involved in that justice. We will be working very closely with them as we move through this process as well. This is a very sad day for our country, a terrible day for the state of Utah, but I'm grateful that at this moment we have an opportunity to bring closure to this very dark chapter in our nation's history. With that, I will now turn the microphone over to the director of the FBI, Kash Patel.
Thank you, Governor. This is what happens when you let good cops be cops. The FBI and our partners are proud to stand here today together to bring justice to the family of Charlie Kirk and honor his memory. I want to express my deep gratitude to President Trump, the Vice President, and the entire White House who have been so incredibly supportive with both resources and just personally to the FBI as a team. They had our backs the entire way, and I just want to express my gratitude for giving us the resources we need to operate in this space to bring this sort of justice at this sort of speed. In 33 hours, we have made historic progress for Charlie. Governor Cox, our partnership has been absolutely incredible these last few days. Our partnership will endure. Your state and local partners, your sheriffs, your DPS community has been unbelievably impressive in the hardest of times. In a case like this, cannot be solved, cannot be brought without partnering with your state and local authorities. The FBI has a certain role to play, and we will play that role, and we will lead out for the federal government. But Governor Cox, we are so grateful for your state partnership that led out on this investigation. A little bit of the timeline. Charlie was shot at 12:23 p.m. on Wednesday. The first FBI agents arrived on scene in 16 minutes with chiefs of police at 12:39, and secured the scene. The FBI immediately launched fixed-wing assets. We utilized these assets to transport personnel, specialty technicians, hostage rescue teams. We also utilized these assets to go back and forth from the East Coast and here in Utah to transport forensic evidence and other evidence that will be analyzed and is being analyzed at our FBI laboratories in Quantico and other laboratories, including the ATF. At my direction, the FBI released the first set of FBI photos of the suspect at 10 a.m. local time on 9/11. Then, shortly thereafter, the FBI reward of $100,000 was released at 10:45 a.m. local. Myself and Deputy Director Bongino arrived on the scene at approximately 5:30 p.m. on 9/11. The governor led a press conference last night at approximately 8 p.m. where, at my direction, the FBI released a never-before-seen video of the suspect. We also released new images to the public of the suspect. And just last night, the suspect was taken into custody at 10 p.m. local time. In less than 36 hours, 33 to be precise, thanks to the full weight of the federal government and leading out with the partners here in the state of Utah and Governor Cox, The suspect was apprehended in a historic time period. And I want to highlight what Governor Cox said. This would not have been possible without you, the media, and you, the public. That's why we went so public, so fast, and we're so transparent, and we're committed to that transparency. The crime scene, just a little bit there. It is a large crime scene. State and local authorities, along with federal authorities, processed that crime scene quickly. And I even had the ability to walk through that crime scene and walk through the steps the suspect took to learn more about what was needed and what resources we needed to bear to create a full picture for the FBI and leadership back in Washington. Furthermore, thankfully to state and local partners, forensic evidence has been seized and continues to be garnered. Forensic evidence has already been evaluated at FBI laboratories in Quantico and state and local authorities here. We will continue to process evidence as we see it, as we collect it, and we will continue to deliver to Governor Cox and his team. Last night, we had a total of approximately 7,000 leads. As of this morning, thanks to your great work, we have over 11,000 leads that were called in to the FBI. And we are running out every single lead that we can. Every one of those leads will be run out. When the public, who had a right to demand such an expeditious solving of an investigation, the FBI answered that call diligently, critically important to our nation, and we delivered. And I'm proud to be their leader, and I'm proud to be the director of the FBI. This is a very much an ongoing investigation, as the governor said, and we will continue to work with state and local authorities to develop the investigation, to provide them the evidence they need for their ongoing prosecutions. And we will be here to answer every call they absolutely have, as long as it takes, for as long as we need to find and apprehend whatever suspects were involved in this crime. Lastly, to my friend Charlie Kirk, rest now, brother. We have the watch, and I'll see you in Valhalla.
Here's more on The Presser from all news outlet KCBS Radio in the Bay Area.
We're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Dr. Todd Burke, criminologist and former police officer. He lectures at Radford University in Virginia. We heard there that FBI Director Cash Patel was talking about the incredible progress they made in 33 hours. The bottom line, though, is that the suspect was turned in by somebody.
That's correct. And that's also not terribly unusual. When the public is asked for assistance, they often come through.
So what do we know about what the FBI and the state and local law enforcement did in those 33 hours?
Well, I could tell you that they did a lot of investigation. And the important part to really understand is the collaboration, the sharing of information and communication between local, state, and federal agencies. That is critical when you have an incident like this.
So they mentioned that some of the bullet casings, it was 30-06 rifle used in the, they believe used in the killing, had inscriptions on them like, hey, fascist, and things like that. What do you glean from that?
Well, those things are very important to the individual. And I say the individual, I mean the suspect in the case. And we've seen this in other cases before, and it's basically figuring that somebody is going to find them, the evidence, and hopefully be able to make that connection through law enforcement and, again, through the help of the public. And I can't stress this enough, that not only is there cooperation between law enforcement, but you have cooperation with the public and the media in this case as well.
So what do you make of the trend towards political violence these days? I mean, it's one thing to disagree with Charlie Kirk. It's another thing to shoot him while he's getting ready to speak at a university.
Well, there's many factors involved, and if anyone just comes down with one factor, that would be absolutely misleading. I mean, there's a kind of a laundry list of, you know, the whys. Why does this stuff happen? And we can look at mental health with social isolation, social media, particularly, you know, inflaming tensions, spreading of incitement, misinformation, and disinformation. Of course, we have the exposure to violence, which to be commonplace, and we're making that unfortunately normal. We have poor social and emotional skills, this lack of anger management, power and control when you're dealing with particularly political assassinations or attempted assassinations. And we can't rule out, you know, not just the access to weapons, because weapons have always kind of been around, but the quality of the weapons used in these type of assassinations. And what we need to do as a society is do a better job at recognizing all these warning signs that are out there.
There's been a lot of speculation about whether this shooter had some sort of training or not, because of the spot they picked for the shooting, the fact that there was a one shot and that was one and done. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, it sounds pretty incredible if this was just a so-called lucky shot, and there's nothing lucky about it. I mean, this is horrific. But this is someone who is familiar with the campus, familiar with the buildings, familiar with the weapons and ammunition that's used. And I'm sure as the investigation continues, and that's the important part here as well, is, you know, this is not the beginning of the investigation. This is going to be an ongoing situation. So it's not only, you know, the initial investigation at the time of the shooting, but this is going to be ongoing. And the idea of finding out the information and the questions that you're asking, which are quite valid, that has to be answered.
Todd, I'm going to make this the last question for you, but do you worry about copycats after something high profile like this?
Absolutely. And we've seen this in the past and before. So that's why it's important for the public to be in heightened awareness, not just law enforcement. And I'm speaking as a former police officer, but also, you know, on campuses, schools, everywhere. Just be aware. And of course, we also have the problem of swatting. That's been going on nationwide, which is the false reporting of incidents to have law enforcement, particularly the SWAT team, respond to these incidents. So it's really taking up a lot of resources, a lot of time, and putting a lot of fear and panic in the public. But we as the public have to just make ourselves aware, and getting back to the old adage, if you see something, say something, and go beyond that, do something.
Does the assassination of the most prominent mobilizer of the young for the GOP mean his message will amplify and expand in coming days? Here's Bob Rose from WSKY Radio with more on that.
The left and the lunacy and these absolute idiots, but shh, let him keep it going. Let him keep talking stupid things. Let them get excited over the murder of a man, and a wife and two kids who was a follower of Jesus Christ, and all he ever did was try to make people's lives better. He tried to help college kids to see maybe a different path, possibly a better way. So, let the haters hate. And let that continue on, because the legacy of Charlie Kirk is literally exploding. I've learned more about the guy since that awful shooting. I've learned more about him. And the memes are everywhere, clips of his debates with people.
Oh, they're awesome.
He's rocking it. Mm-hmm. You know, he's up there with his Heavenly Father, and they're just sitting back and they're watching. They're watching this like a movie unfold, and there's always a plan. There's always something greater going on than we silly little humans can fully comprehend or understand. And I think part of this overall plan is Charlie Kirk, his words. The downside is you can't replicate him. He's basically the Rush Limbaugh of his generation, genre. Mm-hmm. He's not a nobody. It'll take several people, a dozen people probably, to continue the work at a pace and intensity that he was doing But I got to tell you, just his legacy, just the video and the things that have been captured of things he's already done and said, and this really, this whole idea, this whole concept is so, it's so backfired on the left. I mean, they really did. They made a martyr out of him, because there's so many people who may have heard his name. And then the only other reference they may have ever heard was one of their lefty friends who said, oh, no, he's a hater. He's really he's homophobic. He's real nasty. And they would just write it off. Okay, that's the end of that, right? But now they're going to be exposed to the truth.
Yeah.
To his love, to his wisdom, to his love for his family, his God, his country. How just articulate, smooth, and bright. And that's a gift. That's a God, literally a God-given gift, the ability that he had, especially at his very, very young age.
Now, there had been rumor that due to this, Ben Shapiro would not be doing the college campuses. He came out with a very strong message saying, no, that's not true. I'm going to be out there. We're all going to be out there.
He said he took a momentary break out of respect.
Yes.
That's what that is about.
Yep.
Here's Fox News' Ebon Brown on the Mark Cox Show to discuss who the suspect is and how he got caught.
Oh, I hope he was going to be found guilty, I would imagine. And I hope he gets the death penalty. What he did, Charlie Kirk was the finest person. He didn't deserve this. He worked so hard and so well. Everybody liked him.
Yeah, that was the president earlier on Fox and Friends, where he announced that a suspect is in custody in this case. We've got Ebon Brown from Fox News Radio, Tyler Robinson. I saw that a little earlier. One of the print broadcasts had that. One of the print newspapers had that online. So what have you learned?
Well, not much more than that, that this person is a 22-year-old man by the name of Tyler Robinson. We don't know much more than that. We do know that he was turned in by someone close to him, as well as a minister, or maybe that's the same person. Hopefully we'll get some clarification on that. But I would suspect that if someone who turned him in maybe recognized him from that video that was published last night, said, wait a second, that's this guy. That's this person that I know. I have to do something about that. Whoever did do this, whoever turned this person in, did the right thing.
Yeah, I have seen media reports, that he was indeed a student at Utah Valley State, and that he lived some 260 miles away in a different town in Utah, in Washington County, and that's where his father served for the county sheriff's office. So okay. his apparently his father was in law enforcement.
The area is safer now. The world is safer because this is someone who is dangerous. He took one life, planned it to take a life, and did that. And you don't know how people who would take one life would react once they feel cornered, right? Yes. They've already taken one life. They might try to take others. So it's good that this person is now off the street and he can't hurt anyone else. Now comes the prosecution.
That's true. I don't know, Evan, up until, according to reports, they had this guy in custody as of about 11 o'clock last night. So they've kept this secret pretty close to the vest all night long. In the meantime, we were all speculating why in the world it took so long to catch this kid. I mean,
it didn't take that long. It hasn't even been 2 days. Remember the man who shot Brian Thompson, the United Healthcare CEO, it took them 5 days.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
And even still, that's not that long, especially if you're on an interstate manhunt like they were in that case. Remember, the shooting of Mr. Thompson was in New York City. The suspect was captured in Pennsylvania. So was originally from the Baltimore area, hails from a very famous Baltimore family. The fact that it's not even been 2 days and they were able to find this guy. And if in fact he was taken into custody last night and the announcement comes this morning, probably because they wanted to be extra sure that they had what they needed to have to keep him held, as opposed to being forced to release him for some reason. So this is all on a proper timeline. Yeah. I mean, Mr. Kirk was killed. It was Wednesday afternoon, right? And it is now Friday morning. So that's a pretty quick turnaround. I would say that this is a job well done. Certainly, the prosecution has to take over now, and hopefully all the evidence holds up and that this is the guy.
So the Daily Mail is the one that broke this story on the kid's name, Tyler Robinson, and they continue to update this with more information than anybody else. So here's what they're saying now. The kid made it to a car and drove 260 miles back to his home in Washington County, Utah, where he confessed to his father, who's a 27-year veteran of the Washington County Sheriff's Department, according to the Daily Mail sources. His father then contacted authorities and secured his son before he could be taken into custody. His mother works for apparently a company that is contracted with the state of Utah to help disabled people receive care. And according to the Daily Mail, Robinson was a student at Utah Valley University. I think I called it Utah Valley State University, but it's simply Utah Valley University in Orem, I believe is where that is. I'm not going to swear to that. I do know he lived some 260 miles south. He was taken into custody at 11 o'clock local time there in southern Utah on Thursday night, where he lives in a $600,000 six-bedroom home in Washington, Utah. And the sources that are talking to them have yet to confirm a motive for the assassination. They've even got a picture of the kid and put a pair of glasses on him, and you certainly see the resemblance with the photos of him. But he's got a ball cap on and sunglasses in the photos, so it's certainly a little more difficult to see when the picture they've got here looks like a senior picture or something that they've got posted up on the website. So that is the Daily Mail. My guess is if they caught this guy at 11 o'clock last night, Patel is still in Utah, so maybe he'll roll out here. I'm not sure what they're waiting for. Maybe they needed to get the warrants issued and all the paperwork signed before they come out and announce anything. And just in case you missed it, because I don't think we can play this too much this morning, let's play the audio again, Ethan, of the president this morning when he talked about the Kirk shooting suspect.
Can I ask you just some clarification? So a pastor was able to turn him in, or they got the family of the shooter to turn them in?
Well, it was a minister, and the minister went to a friend, a minister who's involved with law enforcement, by the way. And his good friend is a top U.S. Marshal. And they took it from there. And then it was a father got involved, mm-hmm. namely his father, and said, we got to go in. And they so I understand it. And again, subject to change. But, you know, the facts are the facts. We have the person that we think is the person we're looking for. But they drove into the police headquarters, and he's there now.
Did the father know about what the son had done?
I don't know. I'm going to let you get all those questions later, because I can't tell you how accurate. The bottom line is they have somebody that they think did it.
Tara Servatius carried Trump's presser about Charlie Kirk live on air. So we'll let you hear the president's words and her reaction to them.
You is almost like a family member.
You know, Don said to me, he's sort of like a son to you. Charlie got involved like 11 years ago, I think. He started, you know, he's a brilliant guy, but he didn't go to college. He actually started in college. He was so bored that he left. He would have done very well in college if he wanted to, but he was brilliant. I always said, you know, can you get a degree, because you're sort of used to having people like you went to college, right? Yeah. But he just didn't have the patience to do it. And he started this really during what would normally be college, maybe even sooner than that, but what would normally be college. And it's become a movement. And, you know, I won youth. A Republican never wins youth, yeah. But I won youth. I will tell you, TikTok helped me, but he helped me with TikTok. Mm-hmm. But he helped me with youth. I've never seen a person who's, in this case, older than the people we're talking about, you know, in many cases. I've never seen young people or any group go to one person like they did to Charlie. Mm-hmm. He'd go out to Arizona, to any school, to Utah, where he, you know, where he was, but any school, also East Coast, anybody. And he would have bigger rallies than any radical left speaker. And it was killing them, because he'd have 5,000 people show up, 10,000 people show up. They'd go and they'd have 50 people, but they talk big league, right? Now, he was an unbelievable talent, but he was more, it wasn't really so much a talent. He just really believed it. He just believed it. He loved young people. He wanted to help young people, and he didn't deserve this. He was truly a good person.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's important for people to see how he died? I think it's to see the horrific.
I didn't watch. I didn't want to watch. I heard about it.
You don't want to watch.
I would have never made a good doctor. Let me put it that way. Yeah. No, I mean, I heard enough. I didn't want to watch it. I didn't want to watch. I didn't want to remember Charlie that way. But it's horrific, is what I hear. Just horrific. I hear that nobody can. I know friends that were there, and they told me. They said what we witnessed. The physical emotion of being there, you know, or watching it on television. He was somebody that I always said he was very talented, but, you know, when you love something so much, it's
Let
almost
me see,
not even
Lee,
talent.
If you stop it, if I can play it
gotcha.
On this other computer, I want to get to the okay. part where he just a moment ago announced, okay. And Donald Trump went on Fox and Friends to do it. They've got the suspect in custody.
That is indeed good news. Now the process can start and we can find out and I still go back to the comment that Trump made about getting to the people who funded it, that comment that he made earlier. And if that indeed is true, if there are people or organizations or that were behind this, that will be quite interesting.
There's going to be another leftist. I mean, we had a copycat last night. We had yesterday. We had a Colorado school shooting kid. The mainstream media is reporting it as he had been radicalized online by an extremist group. If it was a conservative group, then they would have said that. And that means it's a liberal group. But then it turns out his dad is a hardcore Trump hater. So you know where this is going. Kid picks up a gun. And the problem that we have here is that on the left, I mean, you are lionized. You are celebrated. And you watch this. When we find out who this is, if it is a radical leftist, and I'm almost certain it will be, somebody who bought into their talking points, that person is set for super stardom. We're going to watch that next. These same people, and you've seen them on X, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, I mean, just an unbelievable amount. And I'm talking, it's like every third post, people reveling with joy in Charlie Kirk's murder. You're going to see this individual elevated to a godlike status, higher even than Luigi Mangione, who they love and lionize on CNN, who they name, as Charlie Kirk ironically pointed out, legislation after to honor him in California for his slaying of a CEO who did nothing. If that person is a leftist in good standing, and if they are, the media will try to downplay it. You're going to see rock star status. It's going to be Che Guevara. And that's a problem. Because
we'll
you're
be going to
see copycat after copycat. Oh, gun control is the least
gun, yeah, the gun. Well, it'll be more gun control talk. That's what it'll be.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
It's not the person who pulled the trigger.
No. We tried to kill you, so you innocent people need to give up your gun so that we can kill you next time you come to a public event. Right. Our lunatics, who we wink, wink, nod, nod, lionize, or at least don't condemn. So I'm hoping that it's going to be bad if it's one of them. And it's going to be one of them. And like I said, they'll do it in a two-step process. They'll try to bury that it's one of them. And then when they can't hide it anymore, they'll try to move on. There'll be tepid condemnations from Democrat leadership and then a whole wave of copycats.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Red Meat. Don't forget to smash that subscribe button for your favorite tasty assortment of conservative audio. And follow your local Odyssey talk station to get shows from these hosts delivered daily wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, stay hungry.